Good morning. Welcome to Bible Hour this morning, and for some time now, I think this is the fifth session on the subject in the series Discipleship that we have actually been going through as a church. I think as we've been going through this series, I hope it has been challenging for you. I hope it has been encouraging for you. And my hope is we are not just taking in knowledge, but that we are actually taking some steps in actually beginning to disciple, to be involved, to be intentional in actually being in each other's lives. I'm hoping you have actually identified someone, or you are pursuing someone just to help them, you know, grow in their walk with the Lord, just to help them in their pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this morning, we will be focusing on discipleship, but in the local church. Discipleship, or discipling, in the local church. How many of us have heard the saying, it takes a whole village to raise a child? Yeah? It takes a whole village to actually raise a child. What does that mean? What do you think that means? What does that saying actually mean? In your own, if you have heard it, takes a whole village to raise a child. It's the effort of many people, isn't it? The reality is, yes, there is parents who have the biggest responsibility in actually raising that little one. But at the same time, there is many people who actually contribute, who actually help to actually raise that the child. So even when it comes to discipleship or discipling, the reality is it takes the whole church. It takes the whole church. So let me just refresh our minds a little bit. So far we have actually asked the question, what is discipling? And from all the definitions that we have had, we have concluded that it is a deliberately, intentionally relating to another Christian with the aim of doing them spiritual good. So you are taking deliberate steps to actually be involved, investing your time, your efforts, your resources in someone's life with the goal of actually doing them spiritual good. So that's what I was saying at the beginning. I'm hoping you are doing that to do someone intentionally spiritual good. We've also answered the question, why should we be engaged in our discipleship? Of course, ultimately it's for God's glory, isn't it? If there's anything, if there's one reason we do what we do, it's for the glory of God. But of course, Pastor Newton took us through that he also highlighted that it is for our own joy. It is for our own joy. We have looked at the barriers and excuses. Yeah, sometimes there are barriers that actually prevent us from, you know, being involved in other people's lives. But also, we've considered some excuses that people or some of us actually would give us to why we are not actually discipling the people. But the last session that we had, we were considering the object and goal of our discipling relationships. And we actually concluded that the grand object of this wonderful work of discipling is to encourage our brothers to grow in godliness. That's a goal. To grow in a godliness. So, this morning there is one more question we must answer before we turn to the specific and practical matters that will occupy the remainder of this class. So there is actually a couple more classes that we have to consider as we actually look at how can we actually disciple in the church. So the question we have to answer this morning is, what venue is best for establishing discipling relationships? What platform is best to actually accomplish or to establish relationships that actually working towards that goal? And how do we get started in that platform? So this is why I said we will be looking at discipling in the local church. Discipleship in the local church. So, I know there's a lot of people who say, me, I'd rather develop good friendships with people outside the church. I think that works better for me. If you ask them, are you discipling someone? They'll say, yes. Are they people who are part of your local church? They'll say, no. There's people who are actually from other local churches. And for me, I think that works better. It's easier for me to actually, you know, connect with those people. After all, I already actually know them. But this morning, the case that I'll make is that, yes, you can be involved in discipling other people outside the church. But the case that I will make this morning is that your primary focus for actually making disciples or discipling others should be your local church. It should be where you belong as a Christian, where you call your family. So, here's what I'm saying. The best place to have discipling relationships is your church. Is your church. Of course, it should be straightforward, isn't it? That your focus in discipleship is the local church. It should be actually your local church. But the truth of the matter is that's not always the case. That's not always the way we are thinking. And that's not always what we are actually doing. So when you read actually the Bible, you see that most of the discipling relationships happened in the local church. If you read the book of Acts, for example, you'll find that most of the discipling relationships or discipleship that took place in the context of the local church. By the way, there were no para-church organizations at that time. You realize that? There were no independent church ministries that actually they carried out the work of discipleship. No. In fact, as we'll see, the mandate to make disciples was given to the church. The mandate to make disciples was given to the church. So here's what I'm saying. You and I should have discipling relationships with people who are members of the same church. Why is that actually important? Why am I saying that? discipling or discipleship becomes much easier if you and the person you're discipling or you're involved in discipleship are sitting under the same teachings. Have you realized that it's difficult to actually, for most part, it's difficult because if you're discipling someone whom you are sitting under different teachings, you have first and foremost correct whatever they are what? They're wrong teachings. If they are sitting under the wrong teachings that they're learning. Because you can't disciple someone if they are not actually aligned to this. So if you are actually sharing the same teaching and the same family, like Christian community, it becomes much easier for you to disciple someone. Because here's how one of the examples you do is if you're involved in someone's life, the next week when you meet, one of the first things you will say, you will ask, is, how was the sermon on Sunday? What did you learn? Isn't it? How is your life changing? What challenged you? Because you both sat under the same teaching, the same sermon. So the question is, why disciple in the context of the local church? Why is it important for you and for me to understand that discipleship must actually take place within the context of the local church? Why? So, what we'll do is, we'll look at a couple of reasons why we must actually disciple in the context of the local church. A couple of reasons. They will not exceed 11, by the way. But it's important for us to actually see the reasons. Here, what are the reasons we must actually disciple in the context of a local church? Number one. So, the first reason we must actually disciple within the context of a local church is because God has called the church to be pure. God has called the church to be what? To be pure. How is that relating to discipleship? How is actually the purity of the church connected to discipleship? Of course, in every way. In every way. So God has called the church to be pure. He has called you and me to a life of purity. And when we're talking about the church, we're not talking about this building, yeah? We're talking about us, the people. So when we're saying God has called the church to be pure, we're talking about God calling us, all of us, individually and corporately as a family, to actually a life of purity. That's what actually God has called us to. Now, how does discipleship help the church to actually be pure? How does discipleship, how does your involvement in someone's life help the church be pure? Let me hear from you. If we're saying God has called the church to be pure, and we're saying discipleship plays a huge role in that actually calling or in accomplishing that, how is that actually possible? What do you think? How does discipleship help the church be pure? Or it doesn't? Yes, please. Just. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. She talked about the truth. People being brought back to the truth. If maybe they are prone, they are tempted to wander. Okay. How else? How does discipleship help the church to be pure? Should be straightforward. Think about it in this way. You are in that situation where your mind is actually lingering, is all over the place. And in those moments where you are being tempted, to actually wonder, you are being enticed into something that would actually lead you away from Christ, that would lead you into sin. Think about it in those moments, and you have a brother, you have a sister in your life who comes along and you share. Sometimes, of course, if they meet you and they ask you, how are you doing? Of course, you share. Or you have that brother or sister whom you share your life with, and you call them, or you call them to come physically, and you share with them your thoughts have just been all over the place. What temptations you have been actually facing. And think about in those moments where you would, if there was no one in your life, you would actually have slipped through and ended up into what? Into sin. But think about those moments where you are in that place, you are in that space, you are being tempted in that direction, and actually a brother or a sister actually comes along, brothers or sisters, comes alongside you, and they actually help you to think rightly, and they challenge you that that's not actually the right way to think as a Christian. Instead, they actually challenge you towards godliness. Is that not actually accomplishing the purity of the church? Think about in a situation, Jesus actually talks about, when we're talking about church discipline, think about it in this way. A brother is walking in sin, or a sister is walking in sin, and you know, guess what, your responsibility is to go and what? What's your responsibility when you know a brother or a sister is actually going astray? You're supposed to go, and you're supposed to actually call them to repentance, isn't it? If they repent, that's actually the purity. It's restoring the purity of the what? Of the church. Or it's advancing the purity of the church. So here's what I want you to see. Discipleship in the local church, when we are involved in each other's lives, in fact, we encourage or we challenge one another towards godliness all the more. Now, imagine no one is involved in anyone's life here. And everyone is doing whatever they want. They want. Think of that. What kind of a church would we be? So, have that at the back of mind. God has called the church to be pure. And you, when you're involved in other people's lives intentionally, with the goal of doing them spiritual good, you are actually helping or moving or helping each one to actually that goal which God has actually called us, which is to be pure as a church. Let's read Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2. If you're there, please do read for us.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us From all lawlessness,
so verse 14 speaks of this. It says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people. That's a group of people. To purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are actually zealous for good works. And that's actually purity. So that's a call God has actually given to us as a church. Number two. So the first call is the first reason why we must actually be involved intentionally in a local church, in a church like ours, to actually do each other, to disciple one another, so because God has actually called us to, called the church to purity. But number two, the truth of the matter is, we must disciple one another within the context of a local church, because none of us possesses all the spiritual gifts. None of us possesses all the spiritual gifts, because you as an individual do not have every spiritual gift. I mean, in a context like ours, the truth of the matter is this. You are strong. You may be strong in one area, in one aspect, but you may be weak in another aspect. And the reason why we are actually brought together as we have is so that God, having gifted us differently, we can actually complement one another. We can actually complement one another. You have limitations, someone also has limitations, and you have your strengths, and someone has their strengths, and so God uses your strengths to complement their weaknesses, and actually their weaknesses are being complemented by your strengths. Now this should be straightforward. When you read actually 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll not read the whole passage, but also we'll not go to it. But this is when Paul is actually talking about spiritual gifts or the church, he talks about the church in a way that it's actually a body, isn't it? It's a body. The church is a body which is made of different members of or different parts that make up that body. The body is not one part. The body is different parts. And each part actually serves a purpose in that body. And each part actually complements what this part cannot do, this other part is able to actually do. We're talking about if anything, if you remove from one place to another, you need legs. But for you to get there, you need eyes, isn't it? For you to see. And so both the eye and the leg are actually complementing, they are coordinating, they are, you know, intentionally coordinating with the goal of getting us to a different a place. So, discipleship within the local church is important because we complement one another. Because we have been gifted individually differently, and so because we have been gifted differently, someone would actually be an encourager like Barnabas. Someone would actually be preaching, and another one would actually be serving in the administration, but all of us are actually serving one another. We are complementing one another with the goal of actually doing them spiritual good. So sometimes people say, no, but I have, like I've said, I've developed good friendships outside. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying, if you had your own family, and this is a simplest example. If you have your family, I'm sure you would first and foremost want to see that your own family is actually growing and actually making progress, not just the outside family. You know, people are good at actually going, taking a sweep and actually sweeping in someone's home, yeah? When their own home is not what? It's not swept. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Sounds selfish, yeah? I know, you need to think of others. Yes! But start with your own one. Jerusalem, isn't it? You have your own Jerusalem, and your giftings are actually given to that local body for their own growth. There's something that Paul says in actually Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. He says this: when every member of the body is working properly, it causes growth to the whole world, to the whole body. Do you realize that? If there is actually the whole body, every member of the body, every part of the body is functioning properly, guess what? There is actually growth in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. Now, if you remember here, you are a part of this. You are a part. You are a part of the body. And if you are not carrying out your function, then discipleship in one way or the other is actually crippled. So that's the second reason, because you do not have every spiritual gift. None of us has all the spiritual gifts. Yes, you can have multiple, but you still need others in your life to actually fill in the limitations or the gaps that exist in your own life. So we must disciple in the local church because, one, God has called the church to be pure, and it's your responsibility to see to it that actually the church is actually pure as you disciple others. But also because you do not have every spiritual gift. In other words, we need one another. And number three, discipleship in the local church is actually important because it provides a better and greater accountability. Discipleship among members of the same local church is important because it provides a better and a greater accountability. Here's what I'll say as we're looking at this one. Many times people don't want to be, and then especially members of the same local church, don't want to get closer to fellow members of the local church because they don't want them to be actually held accountable. You know, it's easy to be involved in other people's lives of another church because they will not act on your sin. For most part, that's what happens. Oh no, me! I have a lot of other people who are discipling me, and I'm actually discipling them, and they are outside of the church. True, but the reality is you have less accountability in that sense. God has given the responsibility of account to hold one another accountability to the church, to the members who have actually joined together in a local church, who have actually committed, who have covenanted themselves to one another in a context of a local church. So realize that the church exists in part for the very purpose of increased accountability. Of course, the reality is most of the times we don't want the accountability, do we? No. We don't want the accountability. So the church is structured not only with the love of Christ, but also with his corrective authority. That's why actually Matthew 18, where we went to, is actually critical. Because Matthew 18 speaks of that truth, where the church holds you accountable. The church holds you accountable. I mean, if your close friends that are actually discipling you are not part of your local church, they will not know you are in church or not, will they? You can actually tell them anything that you want to tell them. Guess what? In the context of a local church like this, if you miss first Sunday, obviously someone will be like, I mean, we missed you in church. Second Sunday, if you miss again, they'll follow up with you. Hey, what's going on? Huh? What's going on? Of course, it's up to you to say the truth or lie, of which, as a believer, you're called upon to say what? To say the truth. So it's important for us to understand that. We should realize in all humility that a group of people in a community can know a person so much better than you can alone. If you meet with a friend from work once a week for coffee and discipling there are some serious limitations to how much you can know that person's life. It may be pretty crazy for them to hide. It's easy for them to hide. It's easy for you to miss some of the issues going on in their lives. But in the context of a church, there is at least a better chance that the mix of relationships will provide a depth and a texture of insight that results in a better accountability and protection. Guess what? A lot of people, if more people are involved in your life, guess what? People will ask you different questions that eventually may bring up what you are actually wrestling with or what you are facing. So, discipling in the local church, in the context of the local church, is important, is critical, because it actually provides a better and greater accountability. Number four, discipleship in the context of the local church is important because you don't have all the time in the world. You don't have all the time in the world. So why is this actually even a reason for discipling within the local church? The truth of the matter is we are all challenged by the fact that life is short and our time is actually also precious. For many of us, we actually feel the pressure of balancing work, family, and all the other things that we are involved in, isn't it? We have all this responsibility on our shoulders. And so, even because of all these other responsibilities and tasks that we have, we realize that we don't have actually enough time. We should realize that we don't have enough time. And so, when you are actually involved in other people's lives within the context of the local church, it provides more opportunities for you to be actually discipled. It provides an opportunity for you to be discipled. So again, we can talk about different platforms. We meet together today for worship service as a body. And on Wednesdays, we have also opportunities to come together and actually reflect back on what the Lord taught us. But not only that, if it's even in the context, okay, for instance, we're going out for CHF. We're going out to actually, pass the food packs to the families that we have been actually helping with the food packs. In the context of you actually being a part of that and actually being in a group of people that are actually going there, obviously there will be conversations, isn't it? And those conversations, eventually, they may actually be, end up actually doing you much spiritual good. So you don't have all the time together. No, you don't. You don't have all the time in the world. And so you want to make sure that you are actually utilizing all the platforms that are actually given to you, that are actually accorded to you by the Lord. But if it's only a Sunday like this and then you disappear, of course you will be busy with everything else. And our time being limited, it simply means there's little that is actually is invested in our lives towards spiritual growth, towards spiritual formation, towards godliness. So, you don't have all the time in the world, you are busy many times. And so discipling within the local church, developing friendships within the local church that has a goal of actually doing you spiritual good is actually one reason why you need to actually do discipleship within the context of the local church. How many of us, this is reason number five, how many of us, what would you say if you saw someone who only is growing one arm? I mean, one arm is actually all grown than the rest of the body. What would you say? What would be your first comment? Oh, look at that arm. Oh, look at that arm. It's actually great. Would you say that? Probably not. You probably appreciate when the whole body is actually looking healthy, isn't it? When all the members of the body, all the body parts are actually growing together at the same rate. That's when you would actually, that's when you would actually react in such a way. But you would know, you would say, something is wrong, isn't it? Something is not right if just one part of the body is actually the one that's actually healthiest and that's actually growing. So here's the point. Reason number five. We need to disciple within the context of a local church because God is glorified as the body grows together. As the body grows together, God is what? Is glorified. You know, many people will say, me, I'm a lone ranger Christian. Of course, you may not say it, but by your actions you are. You do say it. You're neither involved in other people's lives, or neither are you allowing others to be involved in your life. And so, in a sense, you're an individualistic Christian, which is an oxymoron. Like, it's impossible to be an individualistic Christian. The truth is, you were never meant to live the Christian life alone. If you feel that you are growing in maturity as a Christian while you ignore those around you, the truth is, something is not right. The truth is, something is not right. Because you are called to be a part of the body. And the truth is, you will not really mature. You will not really mature. So at what point are you maturing if the body of Christ is not reflecting his character in increasing clarity? The truth is, God intends for us to glorify him primarily through our life together as a church. So we should strive to grow toward him together. So whether you like it or not, when you live in the context of a community, your life is meant to be tethered to others. Like, it's supposed to be connected, linked to other people. So the question is that the case for you? Is that the question? Is that the case for you? That you are bonded to other people? Like I said, wouldn't it be odd to actually see that my feet are growing but the rest of the body is not growing? It would be odd. Because the feet are not standing by themselves. They are connected to the body. And whatever the body gets, all the members of the body have to get. So, are you a Christian? Are you actually a person who is bonded to others? That your growth is actually connected to others? And if you are actually standing by yourself, the question is, how is that going for you? Would you say you are growing? Oh no, you know, I think people in this church don't really like me. I don't think I can connect with these people in this church. Ah, it's your family. You just have to find a way to actually work with them, isn't it? If they have actually wronged you, you need to go to them. Rather than just holding it on your own and saying, I'm just going to disconnect myself from the rest of the body. Because their growth is dependent on you. And your growth is dependent on the rest of the body. So if there is that disconnect, the body suffers. The body doesn't actually grow. So that's, God is glorified as the body grows together, as the church grows together. Any questions so far? I'm saying, we need to make disciples in discipleship or disciples, or we need to disciple others in the context of the local church because God has called the church to purity. And the church is all of us, not just you as an individual. We're saying the church provides a better accountability. It provides a better accountability for you. And the church has been gifted differently, and because it has been gifted differently, you stand to benefit from the giftings of others, and others also stand to benefit from your gifts. Number six, why you must do discipleship in the context of the local church. Why you must build intentional relationships that will actually do others and do you also spiritual good is because the gifts that God gave you were made for building up the church. I mean, if you have a gifting, you know God has gifted me or has enabled me specially in a specific way It wasn't so that you can just brag about it, or you can actually just raise a banner over you and say, here's how I'm gifted. No, well, that gift which you were given is a gift to the church, not to you. In other words, you yourself are a gift to what? To the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 7, Paul says this: now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for the common good. That's the NASB. In verse 12, Paul says this: so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of spiritual gifts, that's chapter 14, verse 12. Since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. That's actually in the context of spiritual gifts. So your spiritual gifts, whether it's singing, whether it's encouraging, whether it's preaching, whether it's administration, its goal, its purpose, it's not so that you can just take it and keep it for it to yourself and brag about it. And talk to people about how gifted you are, but it's so that the church would actually be built up. That's why God gave you that gift. So if you're disconnected from the church, obviously the church will not actually be built up by your gifting. And in one way or the other, it will not act, it will be actually handicapped in some way. It will actually be hampered in its growth. Number seven. Making disciples or discipling in the context of a local church is this: if you are discipling within the context of a local church, it is actually your primary way to show love for Christ and for His church. If you're doing discipling, if you're involved in other people's lives in the local church, it's your primary way to demonstrate that you love Christ and you love His church. You know, there's a lot of people who love other people's people, or I should say that. You know how it's always tempting to think, hey, come on, nanhabu ino. Until you actually are there and you're living there and you realize, I think where I was, it's better. And sometimes we show more love too, without those that are actually near us. But if you want to show love for Christ and for His church, You actually want to be intentional in developing friendships that will do other people a spiritual good, but in the context of a local church. So if you're looking for a way to show love for God's church, if you are thankful for the way God has used His church, this church, to impact your life, and then I can think of a few better than intentionally setting out to do spiritual good for one another member of your local church. In John chapter 15, verse 12 to 15, Jesus tells us how Jesus loved us, and by actually laying down His life for us and opening up the Father's truth to us. That's how Jesus actually, what Jesus says, He actually showed His love for us. He laid down His life for us, but also He taught us the truth. So we can show love. We can show our love for those that God has placed in our church by doing the same thing. You can show love for this local body than by intentionally setting out to do good for our other members by encouraging them and pointing them toward a deeper or more personal consideration of God's word. Sit down with someone. Talk to them about what God has actually done. Remind them about what God has actually done. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, Jesus says, John writes, he says, we love because He first loved us. And then he continues in verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he cannot see. And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So these are the reasons we need to have at the back of our minds. If we are to demonstrate love towards one another, we need to actually do discipling within the local church. We need to be involved in the lives of other people. Of course, sometimes the excuses. I think when Pastor Newton was talking about the barriers and the excuses, one of the reasons is, no hood rabinage. No hood rabinage. When you greet them, they give their response are close-ended. It's difficult to actually engage them. But guess what? Persist in that. That's how you are showing love. Because your goal is not just it's going to be easy, but that you actually force yourself into their, if it means you force yourself into their lives, force yourself into their lives, because you know you want to do them spiritual good. I'm going to be like I'm repeating, but the next reason is that church-based discipling seems to be the assumption of the whole New Testament. Like when you read the whole New Testament, that's the assumption. The most common verse that we know about our coming together, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But from verse 23, here's what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith and underline all the pronouns that are being used. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us, verse 24, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, and underline how the pronouns are being used. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Seems like it's an assumption of the whole New Testament that we must actually disciple in the context of a local church. Lastly, on the reasons, it's actually churches that are most healthy are churches that have a culture of discipling. Churches that are healthy, we've talked about church health, the health of the church. Churches that are healthy are those churches that are actually very much involved in each other's lives. It's like there's traffic in each other's lives. You know? We na kujoga, we na kubera. It's like even other people are wondering, who are these people who are always in your life every time? It's like every day you have lunch with someone. It's like you are always being called by someone from your church. But guess what? When that's the case, churches become healthy. Churches become healthy. Because we are actually involved. We're encouraging one another. We're challenging one another in those moments. We are rebuking one another for sin. We are actually correcting one another's bad theology. We are actually spurring one another towards love and godliness. And all of that we are doing will actually reside in a healthy church. Will actually reside in a healthy church. Let me finish in this way. Maybe your question would be, who should do discipleship? Who should be discipling other people? Let me just answer it in the simplest way. If you're a believer, you are to disciple other people. It's your responsibility to disciple other people. If you are a genuine Christian, it's your responsibility to disciple, to be involved in other people's lives. And if you are not, you are actually, first and foremost, it's not because you don't know, but you are living in really open rebellion. That's what I would put it. Because Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And he did not actually just say the leaders, he said, go, all of you who are actually disciples. You've come to faith in Christ, it's your responsibility. When can I do that now? It's not tomorrow. When can I actually start doing that? It's now. It's now. There is no tomorrow in a sense. Because the only time you are sure to be involved in other people's lives, to do them spiritual good, is when? Is now. Because none of us is assured of the next 20 minutes. No, none of us. What are you going to talk about when you get to that person? What am I going to even talk to them? I have nothing to share with them. No, you have the Lord actually to share with them. First and foremost, just build relationships that are intentionally targeted towards doing them a spiritual good. So brothers and sisters, it's today that you can actually deliberately develop intentional friendship that should actually work towards a Christ likeness. Let me close with this verse and then we'll pray. First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. This is what Paul is writing. In verse 9 he says, "For God..." So he has said, he has spoken about the day of the Lord, and it's still in the context of the day of the Lord, but he says this in verse 9, "For God has not destined us for wrath." If you're a believer, that's not on the table. It's been taken away by the death of Christ. "But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him." But look at verse 11. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." The assumption is you're already doing. But if you're not doing, then this is a challenge for you. This is a call to you to actually start building those intentional relationships, friendships, that will do others spiritual good and do you spiritual good. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for gifting us with the church. We pray, oh Lord, that we may hold the church as you hold it in terms of value, that we may value the church that you have given us, that we may be deliberate in actually investing in our brothers and in our sisters' lives in the body that you have blessed us. Help us to be thankful. Many times we are not thankful. Many times we only see the shortcomings. But Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church, as individuals, that we would be actually involved in other people's lives deliberately, intentionally, with the goal of doing them spiritual good. So we pray